Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring little old me, John Wayne. We're happy to be here on the Mockingbird Network in Houston, Texas. So please find us on mockingbirdnetwork.com with all the other great shows on there. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm a writer primarily in the bizarro fiction genre. If you're not familiar with that, get on it, because it's totally rad. Think your horror, sci-fi, splatterpunk, surrealistic absurdism turned on its head and then fucked in the ear, and then you might be close to bizarro. But I have the books Porn Star Retirement Plan, Chargeland, and Ant Poster available now, and coming soon, a short story collection called John Wayne Lied to You, the mostly true accounts of the adventures of a modern day hero, and that comes out this June on Rooster Republic Press, so that is also one of the inspirations for this podcast. I write stories, creative nonfiction stories, for a show in Houston called Grown Up Storytime, and it is put on by a most excellent theater and arts collective called Boo-Town. I suggest you go to boo-town.org and check out all the great shows that they do. The puppet shows, the benchies, the neo-benchies hosted by me, and Grown Up Storytime, which is where a lot of the stories that I'm going to tell on this show came from. I've written a lot of stories over the past 4 years and have been fortunate enough to be included in a lot of the shows. And so now I'm going to take some of those stories back, take it back, and just tell them in my own words and add some hot goss and some juicy deets along the way. I'll change names when I need to, but for the most part, you guys know what's up. Also, I play in a punk rock band with my buddy Chris called John Wayne Is Dead, so you can check out our upcoming shows, and actually every single thing that you want to know about what I'm doing over at johnwayneisdead.com. That has all the shows for the band, that has any readings I'm going to be doing, that has any performances that I have, including in Micro Satan, in which I'm also a writer and performer for. Woo! Micro Satan! Go to microsatan.com, and when you get there and you see that the page says under construction, which no doubt it will say for the next 10 years, go ahead and search us on Facebook, because that's probably where we'll post something. But anyway, we have monthly shows at the Rec Room, so check that out. Micro Satan, Por Vida. Yeah, guys. Anyway, so let's get into what this is going to be about, guys. I'm going to tell you a story from my life, an adventure that I've had. And while the title of this podcast is John Wayne Lied to You, I assure you that every story I tell on this podcast will be 100% absolutely true. Some of these adventures are so wacky, they seem like they did not happen, but I assure you they did, and most of the times I'm the one that wished they didn't. Kind of like the first story that we're going to start off with today. So, without further ado, and this week's story is called Don't Be That Guy. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I love weed. Like, a lot. Like, I really love weed. I smoke a lot of weed. I'm a very high-functioning stoner. I'm usually high. If you're talking to me, I'm probably high. I'm high right now. So, it should come as no surprise to any of you that within 2 weeks of recreational marijuana becoming legal in Colorado, my girlfriend, now turned fiancée, Katie and I were on a plane to Denver. Now, originally, we were supposed to be going there to visit Katie's good friend, also become a good friend of mine, Vicky Ho. What's up, Vicky Ho? What a show. We were going to spend some time with her, but she lived in Steamboat, and we were going to spend a few days in Denver first before meeting up with Vicky. But I was laser-focused on getting to a dispensary and buying legal weed. I mean, I had the biggest boner for it ever. I was very, very excited. So much so that I had mapped out where the closest dispensaries to our hotel were. I was ready to go. So when we arrived in Denver, it was like 11 o'clock at night. It was late. We, you know, of course the dispensaries aren't open that late. I think they close at 7 or something. And no problem. You know, we got in, settled down. I had my maps ready for the morning. I had my alarm set. We got up. Of course, we have to get the, you know, bullshit of walking around, eating breakfast out of the way. And I'm trying my best to be as patient as I can. But as soon as Katie is like, okay, we're done eating, I'm like, let's go. I map to the first dispensary. We go, and to tell you the truth, it was not what I expected it to be. It was in an office building, like a legit office building downtown. I got in the elevator, went up to the fourth floor. When the doors opened, it smelled like awesome, like you just walked into a Bob Marley concert. It was amazing. You could just smell it. So I went to the office door that the dispensary was in, opened it up, walked into the girl sitting at the desk. She greeted me very politely, and I said, I would like some weed, please. And she said, sure, yes, sir. Can I see your medical card, please? And I said, no, I mean the recreational weed. She said, oh, I'm sorry. We're all out of rec weed. I don't know if I've ever been more crushed by words from a woman, or anyone for that matter, as I was then. That was not a possibility that was in my head. It wasn't a scenario I had run where someone would say, we're out of recreational weed. So I didn't panic. I said, oh, well, that's too bad. And she said, yeah, you can try the dispensary that's down the street and a block over, but I'll be honest with you, most of the dispensaries sold out right away, and nobody's been able to replenish their stock of recreational weed yet, so a lot of places are out. I said, thank you very much, and walked out, got in the elevator, and just put those negative thoughts right out of my head. I was not ready to even think that that would be a possibility at all. So we get downstairs, walk out, and I go to the next dispensary that I've mapped, walk in, I would like some weed, please. Same thing. They're out of recreational weed. We get out on the sidewalk, and Katie turns to me and says, look, I want you to start to think about the possibility that we're not going to be able to buy weed at a dispensary. They might be all out. You need to start coming to terms with the fact that you might not be able to buy weed today from a dispensary. And I was, to say pouting would be putting it mildly, but I was very pouty. I was not ready to even think about accepting that either, as I said before. So we tried one more dispensary, and again we're shot down. So Katie, being the wonderful person that she is, instead of rubbing it in my face or saying, I told you so, she says, look, according to the map, we're very close to the Great Divide Brewery, which we both like very much. Let's walk down there and have a few beers, and, you know, maybe we'll figure something out. But for now, let's do that. And I'm, you know, I acquiesce. I'm like, okay. And we start walking down the street towards the brewery. I'm not paying attention. I'm walking behind Katie, my hands buried in my pockets, kicking at the dirt and rocks in front of me, very dejected. And all of a sudden, Katie stops. I almost run into the back of her because I'm not paying attention. And I look up, and she's pointing across the street at something, and she says, what's that? And I look across the street at a very dilapidated, shuttered building with a big, like, metal door on the front and this handle sticking off of it. But above that door is a piece of plywood, and spray painted on that plywood are the words, we have recreational weed. Now, Katie said, turned and said, now don't get too excited, but I didn't hear it. I was already across the street. I didn't look both ways. Nothing. I was across the street, and I hit that door, yanked on that handle, and it was like King Arthur pulling the sword out of the stone. That's how that must have felt when I pulled that door open. It was the same feeling. That's the only thing I can imagine. So Katie runs across the street, goes in. This has, these dispensaries, they have a little holding area where you have to usually like put your ID up to a camera and they buzz you in, this is what they did. And they opened the door after checking our IDs, and I was greeted with the most beautiful sight these eyes have seen in all my days. It was just glass counters filled with all things weed, basically. And of the most loveliest young lady with the lilting voice of a magical fairy greeted us at the counter and became our own personal weed shopper. Answered every question, took us through every single thing. It was amazing. So we walked out of there with an eighth of their highest grade sativa. It was called Shaman. And two tins of mints. There was 10 milligram mints in each one. One was a sativa, one was an indica. If you don't know the difference, just Google that shit, kids. And then we got a 100 milligram truffle. Now, it's interesting because they could do that then. Now, when you go to Colorado and Oregon and all the places, Washington, where you can get edibles, they can only sell them in 10 milligram doses. They can't, in other words, they can't put all the milligrams in one single cake or cookie, which this is what this was. This is 100 milligrams in one thing. Now they sell it to you as 100 milligrams, but it's 10 individual pieces of chocolate, like a Hershey's bar or something that you rip off, or 10 individual gummies that are all 10 milligrams. That's how they get around that now. But this was back in the Wild West, folks, of like 2 years ago. So, a 100 milligram truffle. So we took all these things out, and I was like, holy shit. I was proud to be an American on that day. It was amazing. So we walk out of there. We realize we're still just down the street from Great Divide. So we're like, let's celebrate with some beers. So we take our spoils of victory down to the brewery, have a couple beers, and then, you know what? It's go time, baby. I'm ready. I'm ready to go back to our hotel. So we walk back to the hotel, and let me tell you, this hotel is pretty sweet. It was like a old school, I guess, hotel that they make like cool and trendy and new or something. But it was 9 stories, and we were on the 9th story in a room. Weird thing about this hotel, I thought was weird actually, was that the windows in our room opened, like just opened all the way. There was no like stop or door, like no window jam or whatever, no screens. It's just like this old school building, windows open all the way. The reason I know that is because it was so goddamn hot in our room. I went downstairs and I was like, hey, you know, we can't change the heat. And they're like, oh yeah, we control the heat in the building. We can send up a fan or you can open your window. And I was like, open our fucking window? Are you serious? And he's like, yeah. So we took advantage of that and opened our windows to get some of the cool air in there. It was nice and wintry and we enjoyed it very much. But so that's gonna be an important point coming up. We get back to our hotel room. Our windows are thrown open. Cool air is coming in. And I sit at the desk in the room and proceed to roll 3 of the most gorgeous joints that I've ever rolled in my entire life. Like the weed gods were just possessing my hands and rolling them for me. It was a mystical experience, but I digress. I went to the window to smoke one of the joints, and I set my lighter on the windowsill. It was a purple lighter with a dolphin jumping out of the water on it. Set it on the windowsill. Turned back to grab one of the joints off the desk. I didn't realize at the time that the sill had a slight slant to it going outward. And I turned back around with my joint just in time to see my lighter slide off the sill and out the window. So I'm like, all right, no problem. Katie, let me see your lighter. Katie informs me she does not have her lighter. She threw it away at the airport. So I'm like, okay, well, it's a hotel room. There must be matches here. So I tear apart the room. I'm looking through all the drawers. There's no matches in this hotel room. So I was like, well, fuck. And Katie's like, I'm sure you can go downstairs and get matches from the guy. But I walk over to the window, grab the sill, and kind of pull myself out and over and look down and see that the lighter is a mere 3-4 feet beneath the window on a ledge. So I turn to Katie and say, it's just right here out the window. I'm going to just lower myself down, grab it, jump back in. Of course, Katie didn't think that was the best of ideas, but before she had a whole lot of time to protest, I was already going out the window backwards so that I could lower myself down, holding on to the windowsill. So I start doing that, and about the time that I have my arms fully extended and am still not touching the ledge beneath my feet, I realize that I have grossly misjudged the distance of this sill, of this ledge. But I also figure I couldn't have misjudged it that badly because, you know, it's got to be right below my feet. I'm going to let go. So I let go. Again, my estimation of distance way off because I fell at least another 2 feet. And when I hit the ledge, my knees buckled and I just reflexively like straightened them up, thereby jumping backwards off of the ledge. So now I'm falling off a 9-story building, and the only thought that is going through my head is, if I die, I am going to personally set back the marijuana movement in this country decades, like decades. I could see it in my head. The newspaper headline spins and stops. Idiot tourist falls to his death smoking his legal weed. I could not be that guy. So I threw my hands up over my head in a Hail Mary fashion and somehow grabbed this onto the ledge with my hands. So now I'm hanging from a 9-story building, and they tell you that time kind of speeds up when this happens or slows down. I don't know what they say, but none of this was happening. This was real time. So I realize I can't just hang out for a long time because I'm gonna start to freak out. So I kind of rock back and forth and get enough momentum to kick my right leg up and hook my foot onto the ledge. I then have enough leverage to actually pull myself up and be on the ledge. And I'm like, oh fuck, okay, now I'm on the ledge. I look down between my legs and I see the dolphin lighter. I reach down, grab it, look up at the window, and say, fuck. Because as I mentioned before, not good at judging distances, and that window was a lot higher than I thought it would be. Again, very cognizant of being on the verge of having a really good old-fashioned hippie freak out on the side of the ledge of a 9-story building, I realize I must act fast. So I rear back, throw the lighter up through the window, and then just give it my best vertical Jordan leap that I can do and just catch on to the windowsill with the tips of my fingers. So I kind of work my way up, get a better grip, get a better grasp on the sill, pull myself up, then throw my hands over into the room and drag myself across the windowsill into the room. In the process, scraping up my forearms pretty bad and cutting up my shins through my jeans. I hit the ground. I'm bloody, terrified, but I'm alive. Katie is, of course, freaking the fuck out with very good cause, and I was trying to keep it together. I sat there, I caught my breath, I looked at the window, and then I looked at the desk. And I looked back at the window, and then I looked back at the desk, and I grabbed that joint. And I smoked that joint, and then I smoked the other joint, and then I smoked the third joint. And then Katie and I bundled up, went downstairs to go walk somewhere to get something to eat. But I took her around the opposite side of the building so that I could look up at the window that I was hanging from, basically. And I looked at the area around it, and there was no strategically placed dumpster. There was no, eave overhang of a deli that I could comically land on and bounce and then just like land on my feet. Ta-da! There was no nothing. There was concrete. It was just sidewalk. Like, if I would have fallen, I would definitely, definitely have died. But I didn't. And I was very glad that I was not that guy. All right, guys, scary stuff. That was our story this week. Don't be that guy. As I mentioned earlier, this is one of the main stories that I actually wish were made up. I was truly terrified after that happened. In fact, like weeks after we had gotten home, I locked myself out of the house and had to climb my fence to get to the key where I had hidden in the backyard. And my fence is like, it's taller than the average fence, but not that much, maybe like 8 feet tall, I guess. And I got to the top and turned around to jump off, and I froze up, and my stomach felt like it was going to, like, you know, liquefy and shoot out of my asshole. So it did kind of shake me for a little bit. But you know what? Pleased to report, stomach right back up the old ass, and I'm feeling just fine, and I can jump off a bridge, and you can't stop me! But that was pretty awful. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to the first episode. You can catch us every week over at the mockingbirdnetwork.com, and you can find everything that I have going on over at johnwayneisdead.com. Also, all my social media at johnwayneisdead, or on Facebook, just John Wayne Comunale, my regular old name. Please check out my books if you like my stories. I write bizarro fiction. You can find all my stuff at Amazon.com, Chargeland, Porn Star Retirement Plan, Ant Poster, and forthcoming, my short story collection I talked about, John Wayne Lied to You, The Mostly True Accounts of a Modern Day Hero. And then in October on Grindhouse Press, a very spooky, horror-type bizarro story that I'm pretty stoked on, coming out from Grindhouse, called Death Packs and Left Hand Paths. So stay tuned. Keep checking johnwayneisdead.com for all the details on that. You can go to the page and also donate if you want to help out the cause. You know what I'm saying? That sounded awful. I'm sorry. Don't donate. Or do. I don't care. Thank you guys so much for listening to John Wayne Lied to You, and I will see you next week.